he beat me to it, because that's exactly what I was going to say, is he's not joking. The lizard cowboy boots are coming out. I'll be wearing, you know, stuff. You can wear your nice tank top, which, by the way, I'm not even going to bother to try to follow up on what would constitute a nice. There are tank tops, which are fine, but yeah, they're all kind of the same. I don't know if there's a
not necessarily.
Nice one.
No, not necessarily. It kind of just depends how low it goes. It also depends on if it's wrinkled or not. There's a lot of things.
You're going to run the iron over that tank top before you
head out. I want to look good. I want to look good. You want
the dress tank top.
Ton of cologne. Throwing on a ton of cologne tomorrow.
That'll make sure nobody – yeah, that'll work. That might not be a bad plan at all. You know, I was thinking about your – one of the Ask Slee questions.
Okay.
And before I follow up on that, apparently we have something that's come in over the phones. We have a late Ask Slee. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Let's go to La Jolla and Ryan. Ryan, you are on a belated edition of Ask Slee. What's up, Ry?
What's up, guys? Hey, thanks for taking the call a few minutes late. This, I thought this would translate a little bit better over the phone than via Twitter. So my 15-year-old daughter has her first real boyfriend, and I was looking for a little fatherly advice from both you and Slee to make sure that this kid knows I'm the alpha and I'm in charge. Hashtag ask Slee. Later, fellas. Love you.
That's fantastic.
Thanks, Ryan. Right, appreciate there. It. Go ahead, Al. You
no,
can
no, no,
that
Trav.
One.
This is your talking a father figure here. Let's and we've already talked about all the alpha moves you make in an Uber, and there's certain things you do at restaurants and on an airplane. Please, I want to kind of step aside here for a second.
So I think one of these things, and I understand what you're going for here, but it's not a physical match that you're going to try to go for, right? That's not the thing. That's not the game. The game is just let them know that you know what's going on. The game is, and in particular, silent treatment. That if he's working hard to get your approval or to get your engagement, what? No, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What? Just complete disengagement to where, and then you ask him things, and if he's not paying attention, you jump him. You need, there needs to be a little bit of mental warfare going on here. It's not a physical thing. It's not I'm bigger than you. It's not any of those things. It's my time is more important than yours. I'm smarter than you. I'm more experienced than you. And if I wanted to make something happen, I could make something happen. That's how you go about doing that.
I would do more of the bills don't pay themselves, do they?
I don't know what that means.
I don't
you think
know
I have a money tree
either.
Out back that we just go out and harvest it at the end of every month and make sure that everybody has what they need?
I will cut the internet tomorrow.
You know what? The only thing worse than cutting the internet for tomorrow for the kid would be for the parent. That's the problem with threats like that. It doesn't work. All right, I want to go back to something.
Yeah.
The idea, and I think this is it, and you're the business guy, and you should start working on this, get it sponsored and all these things. Mm-hmm. Not only do I want you to have a table of listeners at your wedding, and maybe we could dry run this with Funchess because he's getting married soon. We could just have this be the Funchess thing. Not only do I want you to have a table full of listeners there, I want you to have another game inside the game. Once we qualify the 10 people that are coming as guests, then we do another raffle inside the 10 for somebody to deliver the best man speech. I think that's something that should happen because I really want to hear this. And I've given a few best man speeches in my day.
Let's do this. Let's definitely have Funchess be like the blueprint, right? Let's work with Funchess first.
He's
Funchess.
The workshop. So I got to go first. I'm the guinea pig.
He's the workshop.
You figure it out. You figure it out with Funchess. So let's actually just start. Emily, start taking calls. Whoever wants to go to Funchess' wedding, throw out the phone number. Don't even throw out our number. Throw out Funchess' number.
Yeah, just give him this. Just give him Funchess' cell. That's
Funchess, what's your fiance's cell phone?
626-555-1234.
There you go. Good answer, Funch. But I want to hear this speech. I want to hear, you know, when I first met Al, he was doing Lakers talk. And we just had an instant, an instant connection. And I would listen to him. And then when I'd see him do Laker halftime, I just knew that this was something special. And then all of a sudden, you know, he pops up at night doing the night show. And I'm thinking, you know, this Slee guy, he and I, we're good. We're good. And then all of a sudden it was Trav and Slee, and I knew that was the end of it. That was when I knew that we were in this forever. I think that should be the best man speech for you from the listeners. 1-800-777. They can give the phone number out.
When Slee said he wasn't a big fan of D'Angelo Russell, I knew he understood basketball. I just knew it. Right there. From that point on, I knew it. We had a connection.
Who is that? Oh, that's Paul from Pico Rivera. He won the contest. He's here. He came tonight.
Okay, I don't know if we've ever got a call from Paul from Pico Rivera.
I don't know if that's a real one or not,
but that one sounds like a real one. Like that, I feel like I've taken calls from Paul from Pico Rivera.
I guarantee you there's a Paul in Pico Rivera listening to us right now. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and let's do this. So, Matthew Stafford as MVP of the league. He's getting some run here. This is Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football talking about Stafford maybe winning the MVP, which he makes a pretty good argument. Listen to some of this.
Last year, if you recall, I said he was the dark horse of the MVP race before the season started, to which Nate had a text exchange with Stafford who responded, "Tell Schrager I won't be no dark horse." That didn't come close to being true. Finally, this is the year. I feel like this is it. And if they are going to be what everyone is saying they're going to be, including me, I'm leading that charge, yeah, he's going to be in the MVP race because they're going to put up huge numbers with McVay's offense. He's got all those great receivers, that great offensive line, one of the best defenses in the league. And to go from a team that, you know, was good last year to being a great team this year, then going to Stafford, who was always good but sometimes injured, sometimes just not getting wins when it mattered in December and January, I think this year it changes. So I would say, too, I won't be surprised. If the Rams are what I expect them to be, Matthew Stafford's going to be very, very in that MVP conversation come January and February.
Look, I think that this is a key piece. I think this is the piece that probably takes them to a spot that they haven't been to in a few seasons. I think that they're going to be much better offensively. But even I, who is a Rams fan and a Matthew Stafford fan, feel like we got to pump the brakes on that. This just does not feel like a guy that at this point in his career, this deep in, all of a sudden goes on an MVP run. If he does, I mean, nothing would make me happier than to be wrong on that. But that just feels like a bridge way too far out.
I think if there's one thing that, look, it is what it is. We talked about earlier certain teams in L.A., you got expectations. Rams are one of those teams. Expectations are there. If he could point the finger at this, and Trav, you've kind of gone out of your way. Jared Goff was the problem, right? That was your problem. That's what a lot of people have kind of staked their claim that was the issue. In certain ways, Sean McVay, without saying it, but kind of saying it, and then having to come back and kind of clarifying certain things. This isn't the first time that this has happened, but what keeps happening, I will tell you, from my perspective, is we just keep putting Stafford on a higher and higher peak. We haven't even started playing football yet.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there are talking about how great he is and the 12 years in Detroit. Yeah, I know. He hasn't won a playoff game yet. But, you know, the Lions were so bad, and he got them to the playoffs three different times. The one thing I would just kind of pump the brakes on, too, is the last thing you need, and this is just going to be a part of the media, and this is just happens, and it's an L.A. market. The last thing you need is all the hype behind you, and you haven't even played a game yet. You haven't even thrown a pass yet. And it's not like it's Matt Stafford coming out and saying, no, I'm the best quarterback in the league. I should be ranked as one of the MVP candidates. It's not like that's happening, but I feel like everything around the Rams, everything around Matt Stafford, Trav, they are running their mouth about how great and how perfect it is, and maybe it is just that, but we haven't even got to preseason yet.
Let's see some training camp stuff. Let's see some pregame stuff. Let's get into this, because while I'm bullish on it, I'm not, because here's the other part of this. Their division is a nightmare. It's gonna be very difficult to run out and put up, you know, because look, we know how this works, right? The MVP comes from the team, the quarterback typically, from the team with the best record or damn near it. I don't know if the Rams are going to be in there, because look at what the division is. You've got a Seattle team that's always pretty good. Now, maybe they've regressed a little bit, but Russell Wilson, for my money, is still one of the scariest, most dangerous guys to play against. He is a difference maker. That makes me nervous.
One of the toughest road games you have every single year.
Without question.
In the NFL. Mm-hmm.
Without question. You got the Cardinals, who I would anticipate are better. You know, more time with Kyler Murray, more time with Cliff Kingsbury. It feels like they're improving every year. They've added some pieces, and guys like J.J. Watt. They got DeAndre Hopkins last year. They're going to be better, even though the Rams have had a great deal of success against them. And then there are the other ones. The San Francisco 49ers are kryptonite to the Rams. They can't beat them. They really have looked like a different team. And Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, both young, both offensive guys, both have been to the Super Bowl early in their careers as head coaches, that these two guys feel like they're going to lock horns for ever, and so far the Niners have gotten the best of it. It's going to be really hard to be the MVP if you don't win your division, if you don't have one of the best records in football. I think that's working against them too.
By the way, I think you probably hear Tom Brady in the background. Eh, sounds good. Keep talking about it. I'm sure, you know. And
I'll tear my other MCL and go get another Super Bowl.
By the way, what the hell is that? Like, why am I reading that? Like, after all this, and I know it just kind of adds to the allure of Tom Brady. Just what? MCL? Who needs it? Let's just go on an entire playoff run with a brand new team and bring home another Super Bowl. But I thought this, and I don't know if we have the sound on this, and I could read it off. Jalen Ramsey was on with Aqib Talib on Catching the Fades podcast. Mm-hmm. So let me read something off that he said. And actually, you know what? We have the sound. Let's play that, because I think, Trav, it's one thing to hear people, like outside people, with the noise. It's another thing to hear Jalen Ramsey on the, obviously on the Rams, talking about Matt Stafford.
I think so. It's a different vibe, you know.
Is it?
You was there with JG, and I rock mm-hmm. with JG, and I think JG.
I love JG.
And I think JG's shown that he can be a winner. You know what I mean? He's been kind of like you said, every level he's been at in his life, he's been able to be a winner. Like, it might not mean you the best or the most talented.
That's
the
skill,
you know,
though, Jalen.
Exactly.
That's a skill.
Exactly. But you know how to win, right? So, I got a lot of respect for JG. But then but like you said, you bring – they felt that they needed to make a change, especially Sean, you know, how he feel about offense and his quarterback. So, he feel like this his guy.
He went on, Trav, and just basically said that he's got this kind of feel to him. He's got this swag about him, this kind of, everybody just calm down. I got this. Do you know who I am? And I like hearing that from Jalen Ramsey. Like, I like hearing something like that from another player. It's easy for us to kind of give our opinion, our thought process, and everything else. And they were not disrespectful to Jared Goff. They were actually complimenting what Jared Goff brought to the table. But he made it sound like, at the end of the day, this is next level. That's how I took his quote, and I took that clip.
Yeah, you can tell that he's feeling good about it. And like you said, that they're respectful to JG, as they call him, Jared Goff, mm-hmm. right? What they said was, I rock with him, right? And I love JG. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what neither one of them said? Boy, was he good. They like mm-hmm. him. I get it. Jared Goff's a likable guy. He seems like he'd be a fun guy to go, you know, go to dinner with, have a beer with, go play around a golf with. He seems like a good hang. But no one is – everybody that's talking about this, his departure, it's not, you know what, we didn't get better at that position. Without exception, everybody understands that they got a lot better, because Matt Stafford is better than Jared Goff as a quarterback. He will throw fewer interceptions. He will fumble fewer times. He will make more plays with his legs. Even though he's been around for a little bit, he's an athlete. He can move. He's tough. And Jared Goff, I will say this, was a tough guy. Jared Goff never once was wimping out in big moments. He was a tough guy. But Matthew Stafford is too. And you've upgraded in every possible way. And we need to stop saying, oh, you know, no disrespect to Jared Goff. No, some disrespect. Some disrespect to Jared Goff, because part of the reason that the Rams didn't win more games during the regular season was because he didn't play well. And if your quarterback is the reason you're not winning, then you're not really going anywhere very far.
I'm going to give you one more example. And I know we have not sat here with Matthew Stafford, and you can't say, remember that time he made it to the NFC Championship? Remember that time he made it to the Super Bowl? Okay, you can't say that. But you know how we make references to the Lakers, or you were just talking about with the Dodgers, you don't want to see a younger player come in. It's a win time moment. One of the things that Ramsey kept saying is he's got that chip on his shoulder. He's been in the league for a long time. He has not got an opportunity like this. So I think it's a combination of somebody that's been in the league for a long time, understands what's in front of him, is a veteran, and that chip on your shoulder, because people are always going to say, like myself, well, what'd you really do in Detroit? You never took them to an NFC championship, something along those lines. Not to say that, you know, that's the worst franchise to give an example to. He'll have that opportunity with the Rams.
Yeah, I was going to say, my response to that would be, what's anybody ever done with Detroit?
Nothing.
Yeah, it ain't me. It's them. The thing's been there for 75 years, and they've been bad 74 times. That's not my fault. That's the Lions' fault. There's some loser DNA there. All right. This is good news. Emily has now seen Coming to America. She's going to tell us what else she learned.
She's
in this
3 weeks. LA 3 weeks into Los Angeles.
She's a native. She knows all the stuff. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There you go. You know what that music means. I love L.A., Slee. You love L.A. Funches loves L.A. We're working hard on Emily to make sure that she loves L.A., and we do this every single Friday. We kind of take the week. We go back. We ask her, you know, what did you learn this week in Los Angeles? So, Emily, what was the week in L.A. like? This is week three for you as an L.A. person.
Yes, week three in L.A. Update, car still not here.
Well,
coming
you.
Next week, so it is on the books. It will be here next week. I'll share a picture on Twitter when it comes out. So first thing I learned this week was I went on a hike over the weekend.
Where?
Los Leones, is that what it's called? L-I-O-N-E-S. It's near Santa Monica.
Oh, nice.
And what I learned is I am huffing and puffing up this mountain, and there are people running past me. I'm just how are there people that have the energy, one, in this heat to do that, and two, with all this dust? I'm choking on dust most.
Emily, listen, I could speak to this because when I go for walks, I have other people walking faster than me with a stroller, two dogs, and three children. So I know what you're talking about. It's same thing. Same struggles.
Yeah, and I'm again, just, you know, I'm out of shape. I haven't been to the gym since I've been here, and I'm just huffing and puffing up this hill, and just couldn't get there as fast as my friend who I was hiking with.
Will you go back? That's the big question.
Oh yeah, okay. I definitely want to get better.
I loved
the view. It was great. It was very different than other hikes I've done to have like the ocean right there and be on a mountain. Just something I've never experienced, which is really
I'm going to
awesome.
Give you some advice here. Great hike. Travis does it. I don't know how many times Travis does it a week, but Travis always does Runyon. Never wears a shirt.
Runyon's
the whole
pretty
shirt
nice.
Thing.
I'm not going to lie.
Shirtless, does Runyon, kind of makes a lot of different noises when he's going up the hill and all that stuff. Got a lot, ton
you
of attention towards him.
You left the part out. Every 100 meters, I stop and do 50 push-ups, and then I keep going, and both on the up and the down.
All right.
So Runyon's a little bit of an experience. That's like a – that's kind of a
–
how would you describe it, Trev? It's kind of like a who's? That
yeah, it's the spot that people that want to be seen go, right? It's the spot that you go to if you want to take the picture. It's the
spot
you go
to. A lot of beautiful people there.
A lot of beautiful people. It's but it's something.
See, when
you should
I go
experience.
Hiking, I don't want to be seen. I look gross. I'm all sweaty. I'm all blotchy. I would rather just go to see the view.
Travis and I used to do broadcasts from there when it was still the evening show, 7 to 9 p.m. We used to do some of our shows there.
Do you still have ants in your house?
So the ant problem is under control.
All right.
It is. I have gotten it out of the room, and I one cardinal sin. I do occasionally eat snacks in my room, and so I eliminated all of that. Eliminated all my drinks in my room and everything like that. So, you know, ants are under control. But the thing is, I've had ants before, just like, you know, more of a reason. I don't know. I felt like these ants kind of came out of nowhere and they were everywhere. Like
snacks.
I've never had ants in my bathroom.
Listen, snacks, crumbs. Bedroom, you're practically open the door. Just invite them in.
Yeah, I mean,
just drop some sugar on the floor and you're good to go. A little trail of water.
I'm also,
it'll,
you
it'll
know,
be perfect.
I'm in the first room by the front door too, so it's like access to the garden outside and everything. It's a lot of stuff.
All right, so the big thing coming to America. We talked about this yesterday when you didn't know who Arsenio Hall was, who was filling in for Jimmy Kimmel, and both Slee and I are like, okay, that means you haven't seen Coming to America. You said you were going to rectify this. Your review is what?
Okay.
What'd you think?
So. Honestly, I had low expectations. I was thinking I probably wasn't going to like it, but I'm like, okay, I'll listen to what everyone has to say. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I think that I thought the funniest parts were like not the romance, like everything else, but like him actually going after the McDowell girl. Everything else was funny. I was like, McDowell girl, okay, cool. You got to have romance in the movie, but like my favorite part was the montage of dates at that one bar in Queens.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then Arsenio, like, essentially in drag, like being him. Like I loved all of that. I thought that was all really funny.
His mama named Clee. I'm calling Clee.
That's
so
my
Emily,
scene.
Emily,
that's
here,
my
here,
scene. The barber
here's,
shop.
Here's the deal.
Berries.
We are, if we give you, hey, you got to go see this movie, you won't be disappointed. Like, we will not – we'll make sure it's a classic. Like, okay. Coming to America, that one's kind of a no-brainer. Like,
especially – especially if we both agree, right? Because you and I, our taste in movies are similar but not sure. exactly the same. So if yep. we're both on the same spot, I think that's
if the majority of people in the world agree, it's probably a good movie. I also loved, like, the low-key, like, cameos. Or maybe these people weren't as famous at the time, but, like, Samuel L. Jackson. Cuba Gooding Jr. was in The Barbershop. Like, I was like, what? He was only there for, like, one second.
Cuba Gooding Jr.'s in The Barbershop?
He was getting a haircut.
That was him?
That was Cuba Gooding Jr., with the Jerry curl and everything. That was Cuba Gooding Jr.
He doesn't even have any lines. It's just Cuba Gooding Jr. sitting in the chair.
He's smiling the whole time.
He won Best Actor.
Well, it would have been better than, well, anyway. All right, we can come back to that. What do you have planned for this week? Obviously, you're going to see an LAFC game coming up tomorrow night. We'll be there with us.
So I am going to Malibu tonight after the show, after I get off work today. So I'm going to go to Malibu. I'm going to go to,
She's doing Nobu and Mastros. She's doing both.
Nobu with the Kardashians.
You know how, Trav, you know how you were trying to brag yesterday that you do a sandwich and a burrito? She does Mastros. And Nobu. She'll do sushi and steak.
Nothing would impress me more than that. That double dip is the ultimate double dip.
Okay. I don't really know what you guys are talking about with those two places. But yeah, sure.
We are trying to help you.
And then I'm going to a Dodgers game on Tuesday. So I'm going to go to a Dodgers game for the first time. Dodgers Giants on Tuesday with my friend Shannon, who's also new to LA.
Yeah, that'll be really fun because that not only is Dodger Stadium awesome, not only have they done a great job renovating it, but you'll get to see a Dodger Giant game right out of the chute. That is a good introduction to Dodger Stadium.
Nice job, Emily.
Don't wear a Giants hat. That's all I can tell you. All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. All right, so we have the soccer match tomorrow night. In the suite. But tonight, Al, I think you should go see Space Jam 2. I know that this movie was made specifically for you. This is the movie that you've been waiting a very long time to see. And clearly Space Jam 2 is going to be one of the great films of all time. I can't even finish the sentence.
Let's be real here. Am I missing something on this?
Oh, boy.
Am I missing something? Because I have zero interest. I mean, there's not been a time, even when they kind of started pre-promoting it, or even when you knew that LeBron is going to be, you know, the face of Space Jam 2 and all that. I don't know about you guys, but and Funch, jump in on this one. I'm not even going to say I have zero interest. Like, I'm not going to see the movie. Like, I'm just not going to see the movie.
Can I try to sell you?
I don't know how to describe it.
Like, I'm trying to think that they should put, you know, like they have different movie posters, like for different parts of town and whatnot.
Yeah,
they'll have
get them on the buses, you get them on the billboards,
I think I saw one go by the other day that said, what else are you going to do? Space Jam 2. I think that's on the top of the poster. I think I saw another one that went by that said, no,
nothing planned this weekend? Space Jam 2.
No, seriously, we made another one, Space Jam 2. I think that was one of the solutions that they were doing. No plot, bring the kids. Space Jam 2. I think these are all things that they're going to be throwing out there. It's the Sacramento Kings of movies. It's kind of like basketball.
Okay,
Space Jam 2.
I got a question. Is it going to kill it in the box office? Will it do really well?
I mean, Fast and Furious did.
I was
going to
say,
that's about it.
I was making fun of Fast and Furious, like, really, another one? But I think I've been doing that for the last six Fast and Furiouses that they've done, and they're only making more and more money. They're only stacking cash in their bank account. So is Space Jam 2, do you think it will do well?
Is it supposed to do well? Are terrible? You're right. Space Jam 2. Of course. Look, they've been running these trailers nonstop. It just – no. The Looney Tunes were kind of past their prime during Space Jam. Mm-hmm. Like my kids don't know who Daffy Duck is. Mm-hmm. You know, I barely know who Porky Pig and Bugs Bunny is. I mean, it's I don't know what this is trying to hit. I don't know where this goes. Is it worse than the original? Yes, Space Jam 2. I think all of these things should be on a poster. If you thought MJ was bad, Space Jam 2.
Did you guys think Space Jam was bad?
I
will see Space Jam 2. I mean, I'm going to be stuck on a plane tomorrow, so couple hours. So I'm going to whip out my phone and watch it on HBO Max.
There's another ad right there.
Whip it out on my phone.
Do you have nothing to do for 6 hours? Space Jam 2.
You haven't been to the movies in over a year. Space Jam 2. I think all of these things should be printed on buses, on billboards.
Okay, Funch, do us a favor. Let us know how it goes. Cause
when we call you in, what a movie review?
Trav, even if Funch just came back and said, guys, this was really good. Like, I didn't think it was going to be good. It was really good. I still don't think I'm going to go watch it.
No, no. No.
It's as good as The Godfather.
There's nothing about this that I want to see.
De Niro, Pacino, LeBron.
No.
Yeah, no thank you.
Pepe Le Pew, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig. No. I don't need to see it. And the Monstars. If they bring somebody, maybe who else was in the original? I know that it was like Sean Bradley was in it.
Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing.
But this one has, you know, we have AD, we have Dame Lillard.
Clay's in it too, right?
Candace Parker, I believe, in it.
No, that's Taurasi.
Taurasi's in it. Neka Ogumake.
Yeah, it doesn't loop me in. It doesn't bring me in. I think I was much more passionate about Trae Young making the Olympic team than I'll ever be about going to see Space Jam 2.
All right, so Damian Lillard's name keeps popping up all over the place, but we need to make sure that there are a couple of places that he doesn't end up. It's not going to be here, but it does matter where he goes. That's next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
All right, is your vehicle due for a service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a dirty waiting room. At Valvoline, you stay in your car, you stay safe, while the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out in about 15 minutes. I can tell you firsthand, very convenient. You go to SoCalOilChange.com. Just put in your zip code. You'll have all these different locations that come up. The closest one to me is out in Hollywood, two locations out there. Did this maybe about 2 months ago or so. When they say you just pull up, you'll have a technician come out. He'll kind of assess your entire car. You'll work with him on trying to figure out what's most important, and they'll get the job done for you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're ready for just a night full of selfies, right?
That's how many
looking forward to it for weeks.
What's like an uncomfortable amount of selfies taking with somebody else when they keep pushing, hey, let's take another one?
No such thing. Let's do 50, 100. Let's just keep it rolling. I'll do as many as you want. Let's go. Let me do it. We'll do the ultimate dad selfie together.
We did two together, Morales and I, Morales like came up. We already did one, and then he came up and was like, hey, let's take another one. But Chris, we just took one. Like, why would we do another one? Which means we're probably going to take nine.
Well, I was going to say, the second you let on that you don't want to do another one, that means you're getting 10 more. And if you don't want to do the 10, you're getting 100. That's the way that it works. So I can't wait. I want to do nothing but selfies and break down what's happening on the field. I want to be educated.
I need some people, that's right, the pitch.
Yeah, I need they're going to wear their kits on the pitch. That's what happens in soccer. Not their uniforms on the field. They wear the kits on the pitch. That's how it goes. And I want somebody to explain to me what's going on. I know the rules.
You have an idea.
No, I don't. I don't have an idea. I know the rules, but I don't understand any of the strategy, any of the strategic stuff that's going on. I'm hoping if somebody kind of enlightens me on some of this, then maybe I'll become a soccer guy. I'm hoping that I get educated in this. Travis and Slee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Damian Lillard has been rumored to be going 100 different places 100 different times, right?
Yep.
The run in Portland feels like it is what it is. It's never going to really change in Portland. He's one of the best players in the league, and he's kind of stuck there. So where he goes, he's not coming to the Lakers. There's just no real way to make that actually happen. But where he does go, Al, I think is important, because the last thing you want to do is have him go somewhere where all of a sudden the Lakers have to go through him in another place. I love him in Portland because you don't have to sweat him all that much, or at least you don't have to sweat the Blazers all that much.
Well, let me kind of go a step further here, because the reports, Chris Haynes put out a tweet saying that after today's Team USA practice, Damian Lillard will address some reports that are out there. Okay, so we'll wait and see what happens. This, I think, is later today. 12:30, I want to say, is when their practice ends or something along those lines. So with that being said, Trav, you know, you could just imagine what happens on Twitter once, you know, any of that kind of starts. You just put a little bit of a fire out there, and then it goes from there. I don't want to see him, obviously. You don't want to see him end up. This is the same thing that happened with James Harden. Remember when James Harden started that conversation? Okay, he's going to leave Houston. Now, contracts were a lot different. But once you started hearing that he was going to leave, I don't know about you, but my initial thought process was, okay, well, where is he going to end up going? Because when James Harden was in Houston, you know what that was? Mm. That was a first-round exit, second round at best. When Damian Lillard was with the Portland Trailblazers, still is with him, that's a first-round exit, second-round exit at best. It's when that player ends up with a team like Brooklyn that all of a sudden the conversation says, you know, you start the conversation, you start with this whole, well, the Lakers might not be good enough to beat Brooklyn as is because James Harden just relocated, went from Houston to the Brooklyn Nets. That's what makes the Damian Lillard thing interesting because, and it's not apples to apples. Dame's got 4 years on his contract. I mean, if the Portland Trailblazers don't want to trade him, they don't have to. But if he does go somewhere, is he going to end up with a powerhouse in the Western Conference? Or is he going to end up on a team in the Western Conference that makes them a powerhouse or vice versa, something in, you know, let's say the Eastern Conference, something along those lines? I'm with you. I'm a fan of Damian with Portland because they're not a threat, and they frankly will never be a threat.
No, not as they're currently constructed right now. And look, you see where all of a sudden just a piece changes things, right? Where Chris Paul goes to Phoenix, and all of a sudden they go from a team that hadn't made the playoffs in a decade to a team that's two wins away from, and it's not just because Chris Paul is a good player, which he is, it's because kind of a calming influence to that. And you wonder if there couldn't be something similar. I'm struggling to come up with the place, but he's such a good player. You drop him in the right place, and all of a sudden there's one more shark in that tank that you have to take out. The West is already loaded. You need fewer obstacles in this because when we go through it, right, what do we talk about? We talk about Utah. They're going to be really good again. Donovan Mitchell's getting better. Rudy Gobert's a high level. Mike Conley, the whole thing. You go to Denver. They have the reigning MVP. They're going to get Jamal Murray back. Then Michael Porter Jr. gets better. They're a good team. The Clippers just went to the Western Conference Finals for the first time. The Suns are in the finals. The Warriors are going to get Klay back. Luka Doncic has a new coach. That's six. We haven't even talked about Portland. We haven't even talked about the Lakers. You're talking about you're going to have a really – Memphis is a pretty good, scrappy team that's in these things. You're talking about all of these teams. I don't want to have to go through all of them. I want to have to go through one or two, and right now it is loaded, and that's not even counting Portland.
Well, let me go to this. It's not I know what you're saying, and I know the direct tie because of the Western Conference. But, Trav, you can have a move. The move from James Harden to Brooklyn, I know it's in the East – You can't just stand pat, right? Like the rest of the NBA then decided, I get it. Hey, you just got to get to the NBA Finals. And then, you know, if you get there, we'll see what happens. If Brooklyn's healthy and Lakers are healthy, Brooklyn's a problem. So as much as you don't want to worry about, it's not Dame just going to a Western Conference team. I know that affects the Lakers more just because it's in the West. But even if he ends up on that Eastern Conference team, even if, I'm going to just throw out this is maybe a bad example, but let me just kind of throw out a team. Let's say Philadelphia found a way to make a move for Dame, and it was Ben Simmons and draft picks. And I'm just, you know, using an example of another team that's looking to, we've seen reports that they're looking to move Ben Simmons, right? Well, now all of a sudden you got Dame Lillard and you have Joel Embiid and you have, you know, a couple other pieces. Philly's an attractive location. That could be a problem for the Lakers, too. It's just, I guess it ultimately will come down to, is Damian Lillard going to end up on a team, whether it's on the West or the East, if he does get traded, that, like you said, adds another wrinkle to where the Lakers are and another challenge?
It's an interesting question, right? Would you rather be a Damian Lillard and have the career of, let's say, like a Tony Gwynn, right, where you were the best player in the history of the organization? You were pretty good most of the time. You know, the Blazers are almost never bad, but they're also really never a threat to go win the whole thing. Tony Gwynn did get to a couple of World Series, but they were out quickly, and in the 20 years he played, Padres were just kind of okay most of the time.
Yep.
Or would you rather be a guy that kind of bounces around a little bit, a guy like Kevin Durant, who we all know is a great player, but doesn't really belong to anybody, a guy like Alex Rodriguez, who's won the World Series, but doesn't really belong to anybody? It's kind of – Mike Trout's in the similar situation. Mike Trout's the best Angel player ever already, but it doesn't feel like they're getting close to
winning the World Series. And he hasn't played a
meaningful game. Yeah. Right. Which would you prefer, to be Damian Lillard or to be a guy that has a couple of titles, but you kind of played all over the place even though you're really, really good?
You know what might be a good comp for Damian Lillard? KG was so loyal. Kevin Garnett was so loyal to the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? Mm-hmm. And he was there for as long as he could be there. We all knew he was one of the best players in the NBA every single year. I remember him doing an interview. Do you remember this? Who did he do the interview with? Did he do it with Kevin McHale? And he had to stop in the middle of the interview because he was so emotional about disappointing Minnesota and not being able to, get them what he was striving to do. And then eventually he went on, played for the Boston Celtics, and got his championship. Doesn't it feel like Dame could potentially have a career like that, where he was so loyal to the team, did everything he can, but at the end of the day, the organization disappointed Dame? Listen, I don't blame anything on Damian Lillard. When people say, well, Dame's got to do better and he's got to do that, the guy's only going to be able to do so much. Damian Lillard did what he can for the Portland Trailblazers. If that's it, that table turned for Portland and he goes on to win somewhere else, I think the KG thing could be maybe a better comp there.
All right, they're filling holes on Team USA, and they're doing it all wrong. Slee and I are going to fix it. We're going to draft our USA Olympic team. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's the last day, guys.
I'm surprised you had time to watch Coming to America during Shark Week.
I had to make time. I had to make time for the show. So we got a bunch of shark stuff going on. Today's the last day. My last shark fact. So it's with my favorite version of shark things, Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. I love the show Shark Tank. I'm addicted to it sometimes over the holidays. So one fact about Shark Tank is it actually started in Japan. It was not an American-made idea. And then also, often entrepreneurs will get an offer from Shark Tank and then shop it elsewhere. And then they can use that in their negotiation. Oh, I already got an offer from Mark Cuban. So, like, what
like
can
that.
You guys give you? Give me.
I like that.
And
well, another thing they do, a lot of these who are trying to get on, they didn't even care if they got a deal from any of the panel. They just wanted to promote their product.
Exactly. And one last thing, the most popular item from a Shark Tank is the Scrub Daddy. Have either of you guys ever used the Scrub Daddy?
I don't know what that is.
No, I don't know what it is.
It is a cleaning product that's actually amazing, and it sells out everywhere it goes. It's amazing. It's like a sponge, but it has a little face on it, and it just works better than any other sponge I've ever used. So that's my last shark fact. Love Shark Tank,
Emily.
And love Shark Week.
Thank you, Emily.
Does it go through the weekend? I mean, can I catch the last couple of days? Is that something that's available?
Bring one tomorrow. Bring one tomorrow at LAFC.
Okay, I'll do a special extra Shark Week fact at LAFC.
All right, so they filled the Team USA roster. They've added JaVale McGee, and they've added Kelvin Johnson.
Sure. Right, who... No brainers.
Kelvin Johnson, for those of you that don't know, and yes, that means everybody, is on the San Antonio Spurs and was on part of for better or for worse, we call it the taxi squad. Mm-hmm. And he's going to fill in. Those are the two guys that are filling in for Love and Bradley Beal. We need to do this. Look, these are...
Yeah, just don't put superstars on there. Just get away from
Trae
especially
Young.
One
that?
That's going out of his way to tell you he wants to be a part of the USA Olympics. Yeah, go ahead and just avoid Trae Young.
All right, so let's pick our own teams, Al. The U.S. has had an absolute embarrassment of riches when it comes to great basketball players that have participated in the Olympics. So let's kind of put together our all-time team. Would you like the first pick in the draft?
So it's either I get the first or the next two?
You get number 1 and 4, or you get 2 and 3?
I'll go 2 and 3.
All right, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then this is easy. I'm going to take the easiest pick of all time, okay, and multiple-time Olympian, both as
Harrison
a collegiate
Barnes.
Player and as a pro. I will take Michael Jordan with my number one pick.
Okay, that's your number one. Let me get a couple positions just kind of off the board here real quick. Let's go LBJ and let's go Kobe. Let's grab those two real quick, and why don't you go with your next pick?
Yeah, those are pretty good. I mean, if you got to go through LBJ and Kobe, then I guess, I mean, that's
on the same
right.
team. You know LeBron's just going to be looking for Kobe, okay?
Not bad, not bad. I'm going to get, let me see. I'm going to go big. I'm going to go a big guy because you know that sometimes you're going to run into those teams. They're going to clog it up in the middle. They're going to have a big guy. So I need to have a big guy. I'm going to take Shaq. I'm going to put Shaq alongside Michael Jordan, and I think I got a pretty good fighting chance to beat just about anybody that I play. Because okay. if you want to play outside, we can do that. You want to go to the hoop, we can do that. And if I just need a bucket, I can throw it down to the big man, and he's going to tear the backboard off its hinges.
Okay, so right now I'm looking
Do I get to pick again? Is that how it works?
Because yeah,
you
can do that.
Back yeah, you go two, and then I'll go two again.
All right, I need a point guard, right?
Uh-huh.
I need somebody to kind of run the show,
yep.
and I'll just take the greatest point guard of all time. How does that sound? I'll take Magic Johnson. I'll just take that guy. So I have Magic, Michael, and Shaq.
Yep. I'm
liking my team.
I love the way you're running your mouth, too. Just go with this guy. What do you think of that one?
I mean, I don't know about you, Al, but I think, in my opinion, Magic uh-huh. Johnson's good at basketball. That's kind of something that I believe to be true.
All right. Well, let's get a little Tim Duncan and KD action going. Those are my next two. So I've got LeBron, Kobe.
You're big.
Kevin Durant.
You're big.
And Tim Duncan.
Yeah. So Tim Duncan was going to be my last guy. I wanted to try to sneak Tim Duncan
yeah,
in
but
there.
I took him. That's
yeah,
the thing.
That's
yeah,
not
I already
bad.
Took him.
Uh-huh. You know what I need? I need somebody that's comfortable just being on the team that yep. doesn't have to worry. Michael's going to take my shots. Magic's yep. going to run the show. Shaq's mm-hmm. going to do work inside. But I need a guy that if you just need somebody to kind of to do just about anything, you need a little rebounding, fine. You need a little mm-hmm. scoring, fine. You need just mm-hmm. some – you need somebody in the locker room to just kind of fill it out, be a good
yep.
guy. This guy's
mm-hmm.
universally liked by everybody. I'm taking – and by the way, maybe his greatest achievements as a player have come in the Olympics. I'm going to take Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony has been a fantastic Olympian. Mm. Not just a good one,
yeah.
a fantastic Olympian.
You know what we call the last 30 seconds of radio? Overselling. That's what we call the last 30 seconds. Because you were trying to sell Carmelo like you were picking Larry Bird, which is what you should have picked was Larry Bird.
Even though
I'm not going Larry Bird, I'm going to go David Robinson. That rounds up my team.
First of all,
there's my five
pick.
Right there.
It's not your pick. So now I can take any of the guys off of your list.
Actually, you can't because it's five against five. That was your.
Right.
You already have five.
No. See, I got one. And then you went 1-2, and then I went 1-2, and then you went 1-2, which means I get two in a row, and you jump the gun after I said Mello. So now I can take any of your guys.
Okay, wait. Can we recap this? Because either that was the biggest fail of running my mouth in the history of fails.
Yeah, ding.
Wait. Let me go through your team real quick. Tell me your team that you've already picked.
Jordan, Shaq, Magic, and Carmelo.
You didn't pick anybody?
Yeah.
That was it?
No,
okay,
go ahead. I got one more to go.
Who's your fifth?
I need somebody to shoot.
You're still not going to take the guy that I took, so it doesn't matter.
No, I'm not going to take any of your guys because I have a yeah. better guy.
You already have a center.
I have a center, and I
yep.
don't need that. I need somebody that's going to knock down threes, and I'm going to take one of the greatest three-point shooters of all time. I'm going to put Klay Thompson on my team. I want Klay Thompson as the guy that's going to knock down shots for me, so I'm going to take Klay as my number five.
As I said, David Robinson. Nobody's going to be taking that, so we'll keep.
You do realize you can't
play
five centers at once, right?
What are you talking about? Who's going to beat that team?
Duncan, KD, and now you've got David Robinson together.
Let me tell you something. KD's playing the three. Okay. LeBron is going, or Tim Duncan's playing the four. Uh-huh. David Robinson's playing the five.
Uh-huh.
Kobe's the two, and LeBron is your Magic Johnson. It's the same comp. He's running point.
We'll see. We're going to put these up, and I have a feeling that my team is going to steamroll yours because I actually have five guys in five positions. You've got four guys that are in the same position that you're going to spread around on the field.
My man. LeBron's
yeah.
playing the one.
Yeah.
KD's playing the three. Kobe's playing the two.
Forward,
Tim Duncan's playing
forward,
the four. David Robinson's
forward.
Playing the five.
Power
you have Carmelo
forward.
Anthony on your team.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest American Olympians of all time. It's pretty easy. All right, so now you got to pick a coach. Who do you want to coach your team? It's got to be somebody that's, coach the team. There are basically two picks here. Well,
yep.
maybe three. But there are two guys that you could go here. And because I had the two, you get the first pick on the coach.
I'm going to go – I'm going to have a little bit of trouble with this one. And I think part of my frustration with going with Pop right now is that he will not put he's refusing to put Trae Young.
Team. He just kicked Kobe off your team, and he replaced him with Kelvin Johnson.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and go with – I'll go with Chuck Daly. Let me throw Chuck Daly
good,
on there.
Good choice.
Yeah.
That he handled that situation about as perfectly. I'm not going to take Pop either, by the way. That Daly was the other one that you could maybe remember Bobby Knight back in 1984.
Of course.
He's a lunatic. I'm going to go with Coach K. You know what I mean? I'm just going to take Coach K. Coach K seemed to have a really good grasp of the NBA players. I think he's very well respected. So I'll take Coach K. And I feel like if my team played your team 10 times, I'm winning like 7 of them. Feeling pretty good about it.
Why doesn't Carlo put that up on Twitter and take a little vote there? And we'll see who's winning 70% of the votes.
Well, then
by the way, hey, Al, here's a piece of advice. If you're going to start talking trash, make sure it's your pick.
I don't know. So here, can I tell you a little secret about me?
Yeah.
I deeply loathe umpires. I hate them. Okay. Right? They're just by definition, I don't like them. Mm-hmm. And here's why. I know the rules better than they do. Mm-hmm. And it really bothers me when they blow something because they don't know the rules. And I'll say to them, look, I get it. You're the umpire. You get to make the decisions. But you can't not know the rules, right? You need to understand. And that's where you found yourself. You didn't understand the rules of the game. And you tried
appreciate
to jump the,
help.
The line.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks, Funch. Hey, Al, you know, whisper in my ear. Al, he's still got another pick after this. Change the
oh, you're not Carmelo Anthony. What about Larry Bird? What about David Robinson? What about...
Well, here's a good thing. You already took your center, so I didn't have to worry about
You didn't have
David
to worry
Robinson.
About it. I got Shaq. I got the one that I wanted. I feel pretty good about Shaq. I don't think too many guys are pushing him around. All right. The Dump coming up next. It is Travis Ansley, 710 ESPN. All right, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Not just $100, Al, $700 on average. I read this 4 different times to make sure that I had this right, because this just doesn't sound like it was ever a real possibility. But this is true. According to some guys on a podcast, Steve Sciarippa and the guy who played Chris Moltisanti, Michael Imperioli, they were talking about how when Steve Carell left the office, okay, when he decided he was going to go, they were still going to continue the show, that James Gandolfini was offered a $4 million deal to come in and be the replacement for Michael Scott, to be the new regional manager of Dunder Mifflin, and that HBO paid him $3 million not to do it. How good is that? How valuable are you if somebody's paying you something, paying you $3 million not to do something? And so, how different would the office have been with James Gandolfini in the role?
So initially, I'm like, come on, that makes no sense. Why would they do that? And the more I think about it, how great would it be is if he still played kind of that Tony Soprano character?
Oh, he'd have to, right?
Right?
He'd have
he walks to be that in, guy. Everything, you know, he's with Jim, he's with all the, just the regular staff, but he's the mafia guy from the Sopranos and is still kind of that same personality. That would have been fantastic. That would have been amazing.
I like how he would recruit the other characters, like, you know, Paulie from the Sopranos, the guy with the wings in his hair, the guy just a psychopath, you know, uber violent, he wanted to kill everybody all the time.
Paulie's in one of the cubicles.
No. What happens is that the regional manager Tony Soprano recruits Creed to be the new Paulie and starts having him rub out the rest of the guy. That where'd Dwight go? Where'd Jim go? I don't know. Stanley hasn't been here in months, and you just have Creed back there just cracking his knuckles, getting ready to do work on the rest of the office.
A paper company really seems like a cover for a mafia, anyway. Like, how much money do they really make?
Can't you see him in the conference room saying, we're going to hit these freaking numbers whether you like it or you don't? Oh, that would have been fantastic.
It would have been – look, the best part and worst part about being as good as he was in the role of Tony Soprano is that you're Tony Soprano forever.
Sure.
Every time you'd see him in a movie prior to that, you're like, oh, that's right. Tony Soprano was in this. You don't even think of him as –
perfect example. HBO was going to pay him $3 million to keep him away. You don't need to be – anybody else after that.
All right. We will see everybody that we're going to see at LAFC tomorrow night, and everybody else, we will see you right here at 8:55 on Monday morning, the new edition of Travis and Slee. We'll have the Dodgers to break down. We might have an NBA Finals winner. We got all of it coming up. We'll see you Monday.